We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Oh, the thing went off again. Oh, I'm having some feedback issues here. 1 second. All right, Ryan, am I good?
I think we're good.
All right, I had the YouTube on in a different tab, so I got screwed up. All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to obviously technical difficulties, a special Saturday show. We didn't get to do a show on Friday because DraftKings posted the pricing too late. We have a King of the Pitch ticket available tomorrow, so we thought, why not give the people a little bit of content? But first, we might talk about the slate today. Ryan, how did things go this morning in a kind of wild Premier League slate? Felt like Champs League.
Yeah, there's been a lot of goals recently. It went okay. I cashed my high stake stuff. I 3X'd about. I won a couple tickets. It was nice because I got crushed midweek. Nice to get a little back, but frustrating. I don't know. What have you been saying? When you win, you're still upset that you didn't win more, most of the time. That's how it was. Today I feel like I got the core pretty much right and then just sort of missed on second forward and a couple of my other pieces. But, I played Gross, Pereira, Brownhill, Trippier, those four for the most part, with another Brighton defender in every lineup, either Dunk or Lamptey. And the ones I didn't have Dunk or Lamptey, I had Asignon. So pretty much nailed the defenders, nailed Gross and Pereira. I mean, they were the chalk, but you didn't have to get much else right when you have all those other guys. I forgot to play cash, I guess, sort of jumping around. But your cash core was kind of the same. I would have played those same six guys that you did in cash. And then, I kind of did make four of those guys my core for GPPs. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't get second forward right. Another one of the frustrating slates. Like, played some Anthony Gordon. I see him there in your lineup with 2 points. I played Amdouni. He scored 2 points. Evan Ferguson, I just have never got him right. He scored 2 points or whatever. I don't know who, how did it go for you?
It went all right. I didn't quite nail everything down perfectly like I wanted it. Cash games I thought went great. So it was kind of a weird slate, right? We didn't have Eze and Olise. I thought at least one of them would start. And then I figured, that kind of changed the construction a lot, because heading into the slate, I thought it would be tough to pay for Andreas. But it became pretty easy to pay for Andreas after everything changed. So I don't know. I thought Pascal Gross, Andreas, Josh Brownhill, and Trippier, I thought that was kind of like the table stakes for cash games. And those guys were the most popular plays. You kind of just had to figure out the rest of the spots. There were some cheap defenders to play, so I figured I'd end up playing one. And I ended up looking, do I want to play Anthony Gordon or João Pedro? But, I make my own. I'm trying to work with my own numbers now. They rated at the same, and Anthony Gordon was in the better matchup. It had a higher implied goal total. They looked about the same, and I saved 2K. So something like that, it would have let me spend up at goalkeeper or at another defender. And I don't know, Jedi Robinson looked pretty good against Burnley in this spot. So I opted to pay down for goalkeeper as I just feel like I can make use of that money better in cash games. Ryan, you always feel like you can beat people with less salary. I just feel like I can punish people for, you know, maybe spending up at goalkeeper when it doesn't work out for them. And Dubravka didn't work out. So a lot of slightly fortunate things happened today, but I also thought it was kind of unfortunate for Dean Henderson to finish with -3 and Anthony Gordon to go off at halftime. So, you know, we'll take it. A clean cash. Can't complain.
No, it's a good lineup. The Gordon stuff is unfortunate. I started on Pedro too, even like for high stakes. That's what I wanted to do. In the end, though, yeah, I sort of decided like you, I could use that money and spend up at goalkeeper because I wanted to play Pereira for sure. And then I could get a better flex. But yeah, none of those, like I thought about playing Hinchelwood or Buonanotte for 5,900 or 5,800, but it left you in this, it left me at least in like 6,500 range for forward. And there's nobody, like there was like 2 6K forwards and one was Bobby D. Cordova Reed. Could have went down a little to Muniz, which I considered, but it still left my flex with like 6K or 6,500, depending on what I did. And there's just sort of nothing in that range either. Like I couldn't get myself to click Bruno G, who got there again. But yeah, I don't know. It was a successful day, but frustrating.
Yeah, I got your Scorpion Kick lineup. It was very similar constructions. You got Dunk for Bruggen correlation. That worked out great. So that probably helped you cash by a lot. Dunk was only 10%. I thought he might get a little more run because people were going to spend down at least once. And Dunk takes free kicks sometimes. So that's always nice to see. And then, I guess it was an awkward salary thing. So if you play Evan Ferguson and Zeki Mduni, you're kind of just like left with, it was tough to spend down and then feel good about what you did in the utility spot, right?
Yeah. So like I liked Gordon too, and I was trying to like force a Gordon lineup. So he was 800 more. So where am I going to get that from? I couldn't get it from Mduni because I wasn't going to play anyone in the flex that like couldn't score a goal or like isn't a forward. You know what I mean? That's why I liked him there. So like Carlton Morris, I guess, was the cheapest option. Really, my plans got ruined when Fofana didn't start. I told you yesterday it was Fofana season for 4,300. He came off the bench and scored 2 goals, of course.
Should have just subplayed him, man.
I know, right? But yeah, anyways, it was just frustrating. But like, I guess I was trying to force expensive keeper, which made my options a little different. Not necessarily force it, but actually, yeah, force it. Because, like, look at our lineup. There's no way I'm playing Dean Henderson. We have Brighton players and Gross and multiple, like, for tournaments at least, right? It's a small slate. And they don't start Eze. They don't start Olise. Like, I'm expecting 3-0 in the first half. So he's ruled out. Not going to play Kaminsky. Not with Gordon in our lineup or whoever else. And just, I guess you could. I shouldn't say not, but like on the smaller slate, I'm trying to get the edge at keeper, like to have, you know, yeah, I'm trying to get that 10-point edge maybe, and I get, you know, get the only clean sheet. It almost happened, but
I think in small field tournaments that makes a ton of sense. So I think we always shout past each other. You're playing these small field tournaments. I'll be playing in cash games, and I don't know. Both strategies work equally well, and in each of the formats, but I definitely see the merits of getting up to Verbruggen. I played a couple, I didn't play Verbruggen, but I played a couple steel lineups, but that's just getting used to the new struggles.
I've done that before.
Good times. All right, well, you know, we'll take a good day, and as Luis Pacheco, our friend, would say, we should have won more. So, you know, never happy playing DFS, so it's great that we keep on doing this to ourselves. But let's get into tomorrow's slate. I think it's pretty difficult, Ryan, as far as these things go. And I'm looking forward to breaking it down. We basically have 3 matches which are carbon copies of each other according to the odds, like really similar implied goal totals across the board. Chelsea at home to Wolves, Manchester United at home to West Ham, and Bournemouth are at home to Nottingham Forest. I mean, the difference in win probability between all these teams is within 5%, so that's really not a significant thing. All the implied goal totals about the same. Ryan, when you ripped open the slate, what were your first impressions?
Well, yeah, that's the first thing that I was going to say, is that all three games are the same. That's how I would think of them. Same implied total for the home teams, same implied total for the road teams. You know, any of these teams could win. Any of the home teams could win 3-0. Like, it's one of those things where you don't have to let the odds influence anything else. It's all the same. The next thing that stuck out to me was it's a tricky slate in that there's not a lot of obvious spots, especially at forward. Like for the favorites, for example. And then the value is on a couple of the underdogs. So Bruno's going to be like a lock on this slate, just in my opinion, I guess. I don't think you'll disagree, but maybe, because midfield is the strongest position, but there's just not a lot that I feel confident in outside of that. And I think you're going to have the money for whoever you want if you play some of these cheap underdogs. I don't know. It's kind of a play whoever you want slate, though, in a way.
I feel like it's a ball knowing slate. You kind of want to know a little bit how these games are going to go with like a little bit of feel, because they all have the same odds, right? But I feel like these teams maybe have different personalities. In the case of Chelsea, they have very chaotic personalities. So you kind of just want to, you're going to have to play some underdogs. You're going to have to know like, okay, which spot do I want to attack? Like looking at it, I'd more likely to play Wolves and Nottingham Forest players than West Ham players. Because West Ham, I think, are just more likely to sit back and sort of play like a really negative game. So I think this is kind of good for Manchester United players. As far as the underdogs, I want to look at maybe Wolves. I've seen Chelsea struggle a lot. And Bournemouth still concede a lot of fantasy points, just a little bit above the average for the league per 90 minutes. So that makes me feel okay about some of these Nottingham Forest pieces as well. I don't know, which underdogs do you like, Ryan, for salary relief?
Well, part of the reason I like this slate is because I think you can cross some stuff off and just sort of narrow your decisions down. And I agree with you about West Ham, for me at least. Yeah, I think I'm least interested in playing West Ham. That lineup that they have, the one they play midweek, I mean, they can't really do anything with that lineup. Like, they're not really going to have any floor points, I don't think. They could score on counters. I mean, that's going to be their plan. It's sort of been their plan all season. Like, maybe Kudus or Bowen. But, like, JWP, for example, like, feels like the worst play on the slate to me. I'm not sure. He probably won't get ownership, but he was 78% or something in the midweek slate, on a slate where there was a ton of midfield options, like six great midfielders or something like that. And he was the highest. And yeah, of course I faded and he was busting and got a bailout penalty. But yeah, it feels like the only way he can get there these days, especially with this lineup, is with a penalty kick or an assist. I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, so that was a long way of saying I don't really have interest in playing the West Ham guys. Wolves, heartbreaker midweek against United. That was an amazing game. Neto's equalizer. That's too bad. They deserve something out of that game. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough to play. Like, I would want to play Neto, but with Sarabia back in, worried about set pieces there. Sarabia took the penalty when he came on, took a corner also. I don't know why, but I guess kind of breaking down midfield. Nottingham Forest. Yeah. Depending on the lineup, could have some interest here. Nuno Tavares is 3,100. Probably going to take a few corners. Danilo took corners for 3,300, but I don't think that's going to be sticky. It wasn't the first time, though. I remember him taking one or two in another recent game, even though I can't see it on our numbers. But that's a formation thing, too, where I don't want to play Danilo if he's like for sure going to be a defensive midfielder. But when he starts and Mangala and Yates also start, then yeah, he's good. I've seen him linked with some big clubs recently. 3,300, that could be value. But yeah, I don't think so. That's probably not if he's going to play in that defensive role. But then you're going to have Morgan Gibbs-White for 6,800. You can't expect more than half the sets. Don't be surprised if he doesn't take many. I wish they would have priced him higher. Because I don't think he's that great of a play, to be honest. And people would try to play him if he was 8K, and I wouldn't. Now it's one of those things where he's 6,800. And, you know, because forward's not great, it just kind of makes him an okay play. That's the sort of unfortunate, because I don't really, you know, didn't really want to play him, but he's kind of cheap. I don't know, Jack. That was a lot of rambling. What do you think?
Oh, I thought it was good stuff. I mean, I noticed Morgan Gibbs-White. I was like, oh man, 6,800. Like, that's kind of cheap. And then I'm like, well, take most of the set pieces. And then I look at things and it's like, will he? He's kind of in a limbo territory for me. I think, you know, any numbers, you know, he kind of looks good. I mean, we know what he can do from the floor. We know he takes penalties, right? That's still the case that Morgan Gibbs-White, he doesn't. You're shaking your head.
No. I have to check on that, because I feel
I've seen him take penalties.
Definitely. But Taiwo had been out, and I'm not sure. I remember him taking one as well. I think it's Gibbs-White. I'm just not positive.
I feel like he may have taken some with, like, yeah, well, it's only one on the season. All right, so no complaints if Taiwo takes one. But, like, it's just a frustrating situation, because you can see so clearly where it goes wrong. You can also see where it goes right, and it's only 6,800. I think the thing for me on Morgan Gibbs-White, and we'll talk about forward, is just, like, no one really stands out at the forward position. Like, there's some players in tournaments that look somewhat appealing. You're going to need to save a little bit of salary somewhere. I don't know. It just feels like Morgan Gibbs-White on a road trip to Bournemouth, who you can't attack against. You might just have to eat it in cash, and then just hopefully, if you want to fade him in tournaments, you're going to have to look to goal scorers. But why don't we just dig into the forward position a little bit, Ryan? So I'll scroll down in our sheet. I will filter by forward. It looks like Bournemouth prices are still coming in. DraftKings posted the slate a little bit late today. But I guess, what are the names that looked interesting at forward? I mean, you have really good goal scoring odds on Dominic Solanke. And, like, players like Rashford and Garnacho always look decent in these spots. They're guys who kind of have odds to shoot a lot. But no one who really has a consistent floor. Like, I don't really want to roll out $8,800 Dom Solanke because he's, you know, 55% to score a goal per DraftKings odds, which always seem a little bit juiced. So I don't know, Ryan, I look at all these forwards, I'm like, I guess I'd play them, but I kind of want to spend up at some of my midfield spots because I see that where that's the value. You see, you got have guys like Nkunku here at 7,800. Will he start for Chelsea? Will he take set pieces? How many minutes will he play? That's another volatile spot. I don't really feel good about any of these things. And I scroll down, I'm like, why don't I just load up on midfielders who I know have good roles? Why don't I just play like Morgan Gibbs-White and maybe someone else who's kind of cheap? You can also spend up if you want to, you know, use a value option at midfield as well, which seems reasonable because forward's bad. I think that's a good strategy as well. I don't know. No, I'm the one rambling, Ryan. Who stands out thinking about cash?
Yeah, for cash. Yeah, I think you just have to play Gibbs-White because no one stands out, really, like you said. Just none of the expensive guys are like good cash plays in a vacuum, I guess I would say. So yeah, I would play Gibbs-White for sure. Like you mentioned, Solanke, he's probably the best just because of his goal scoring odds, but also because he plays 90 minutes, and so many of these guys aren't going to play 90 minutes. Like Chelsea have just so many players now, and Jackson's back. You can't count on minutes for any of the Chelsea players. Same with the Bournemouth players other than Solanke. United, you know, Rashford is going to get subbed. Yeah, like Gibbs-White by default, almost. I'm not saying he's a bad play. Like 6,800 is a pretty good price. After that, though, I don't know. I guess there's no one that I'd necessarily prioritize. I'd prioritize other parts of my lineup first, I think.
Yeah, and then you'll just
Nkunku,
see.
Nkunku, you might just have to click. You know, I would maybe just have to click. I wouldn't be excited about it, but I feel like he'd be pretty popular because – you know, you could have seen him being 9K just for whatever reason. 7,800 is affordable, but he is not going to play more than 70 minutes, in my opinion. Like, 75 minutes is his ceiling, in my opinion. But, yeah, like you said, he might take sets. He's got goal and assist upside. So I'd be fine with Nkunku.
Yeah, as I'm looking into my crystal ball, trying to think, you know, what am I going to go with here in cash in my main lineup? I feel like the most likely things are I just, you know, eat it with Morgan Gibbs-White. If you see me spend up, it'll probably just be Solanke. I'll just take the 90-minute guy who has, I think he takes penalties for Bournemouth. He has good goal scoring odds. It just feels like at least you're giving yourself upside outs in that case, which feels fine. And it's not like you're fading set piece takers. So hopefully the floor won't be so behind. And then there's a few different forward options. I mean, maybe some people play Garnacho, maybe some will play Rashford. So in terms of doubles ups, I don't think I'm like fading a big chalky piece at the second forward. So it just seems like a fine play. Just for like, it's kind of like capitulation though. I don't really feel good about it. You have Nkunku. I mean, you could see him come off at 55 minutes. That would be extremely frustrating. And then you might be stuck, and that feels bad as well. You're spending 7,800 in that case. So I don't know. That's you might. I think I feel like I have to see it first from Nkunku. Okay, I know what he can do, right? But I have to see him play more than 60 minutes before I feel good about that. But with few options, you can do it, right?
No, Solanke might be a better play.
I mean, Ryan, what about just playing like Anthony Elanga or Taiwo Awoniyi? Like, you could spend down twice a bit at the forward position. A construction like that might allow you to play two slightly expensive defenders. Maybe that construction allows you to play two expensive midfielders and then someone like Alex Scott, who's in the mid 6Ks. I could see merit to that as well.
Seemed fine to me because you're not really, there's no opportunity cost. You're not really fading anything. So, yeah, I think that's fine. I think we could see Kluivert start. I think you could consider him as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Kluivert started at central attacking mid. But yeah, those Forest guys do.
Midweek.
Yeah, Scott started there midweek. I could see Kluivert back there.
Yeah, it makes it fun for tournaments because you can kind of just, you know, roll your second forward around a little bit based on other pieces that you like in your lineup. But you know, if I'm hand building lineups, right, I'm probably just filling second forward last and every single time hoping it's something I like so I don't have to redo the lineups. It's tough out there, but it's probably going to be the most important spot overall.
Right.
All right. I don't know. Do you got anything else more forward? I mean, we mentioned everyone. There's plenty of reasonable options. I don't think anyone's going to be.
I mean, I think it's worth if it, I should mention Garnacho by name, actually. He actually probably does have somewhat of a floor on this slate. I mean, you can't ignore the minutes in his game log. And he just has a higher floor than any of their other forwards from what he does in open play. I really liked when he was playing on the left when there was no Rashford. I think I saw him. I don't know. I know they were like switching around, but he was on the right. With Rashford back on the left, the other hand, or the other game. Not really sure if that affects. I don't know. I liked him a lot on the left. In general, I just like Garnacho. I think he's a great player and has a good floor and he has upside. So I don't think he's that bad of a play. I mean, you know, United, there should be floor points in this spot for United. There should be some goals in this spot for United. And yeah, he's been playing more minutes.
It's been a little bit frustrating when I watch Manchester United because with Marcus Rashford back in the lineup and he scored a goal recently, he doesn't look like a complete husk of himself last year. I feel like the ball has been going down his wing a little bit more and he's been the one shooting a little bit more. And is Garnacho right-footed, Ryan?
He is.
So if he's playing on the left, he's not exactly crossing too much. He kind of has to be able to cut inside and take some shots. That's what one thing I've noticed, as long as I have my right and left correct. It's a struggle with Garnacho, and I'll let you get in. But I think you're right about his floor. In his last 10 matches, he's averaging 9 floor points, which is probably better among the forward position this spot. So he does have a good floor. You are paying for it at 8,300. I'm just a little bit worried. But go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I actually just with him and him specifically, I like him better on the left, actually, because he's going to score more goals, I think, just cutting in onto his right foot. And I think he's so quick that he's going to get off crosses no matter what. you know, even if it's with his left foot, even they might not be as good of crosses, but they still count the same. Anyways, for goal upside, you want those guys on the left.
Yeah, I think those are fair points. I don't know. I'm talking myself into one of Garnacho or Rashford a little bit more, because if it goes down one of those sides predominantly, you figure there's a good chance that one of them has a pretty good floor game on shots. And then on top of that, if one of them scores or assists, might be a pretty big haul that you'll need at the forward position. And it quite easily, it won't take much to stand out from the forward position unless we have a slate like today where there's like 20 goals. So good point there about Garnacho, Ryan. I think that was good to make.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Being kind to each other today. All right, let's get into midfield. Ryan, I agree with you. You said Bruno feels like a lock in this spot. I mean, to a West Ham team that concede a lot of points and soak up, they allow a lot of possession. So they're soaking up possession, I guess. Depends how you think of that. It just feels like a great spot for Bruno. He took all of the corners. Maybe Luke Shaw takes half. I don't really care. I feel like he's going to be really valuable from open play. You know, if he's passing to Rashford or if he's passing to Garnacho, he's the one who gets those shots assisted. So really feels like a can't miss spot for him. But he could fail a little bit. We don't really know. But for cash, I think you just slot in Bruno. And then there's some interesting options who are a bit more expensive. I mean, Cole Palmer still takes at least half of the set pieces, but the price feels a little bit rich. And with Nkunku going in and Ben Chilwell is back in the lineup, I just don't feel as good about that role. And I don't know, Chelsea can be a little bit more spread out. You've already talked about James Ward-Prowse. This doesn't really feel like the slate to play him, especially in cash. Some other names worth considering. I really like Marcus Tavernier in my second spot. I mean, he's got a great floor, should contribute a little bit on set pieces, but I don't really think he needs set pieces that much, even if it's just half with Alex Scott in the lineup. I feel pretty good about Marcus Tavernier in this spot. Maybe you're spending up twice at midfield. That's at least my first inclination. What did you think when you were filling things out, Ryan?
Yeah, I think pretty much the same as you. Bruno's clearly a must for cash games. Because there's other good midfielders on this slate, you could fade him in tournaments. You know, there's still plenty of outcomes where he just scores like 11 or 12 points. But he's in the best spot. I think, yeah, like we've said, United are in a good spot for floor points here, home against West Ham. After that, yeah, Palmer, he's the one you feel best about with Chelsea just because he plays the most minutes and takes penalties. But outside of that, yeah, I hear you in that Chelsea are spread out from where like the other floor points come from, and just like their range of outcomes and whether they play well or not and create chances or not. And it's not like Wolves have been good. It's not like a cakewalk matchup for Chelsea either. But I like Palmer. Like, I think he's the second best. I would like to play Bruno and Palmer. I also like Tav, though. Tavernier. Even without sets. If you get 90 minutes out of him, yeah, it's just a really good matchup. And then Neto. Neto's there as well. I don't think anybody's going to play Neto, really. Actually, I don't know. Do you think people play Neto?
I don't really know. That's what I was going to ask you, because I'm kind of staring at Pedro Neto as a potential pivot in tournaments. I mean, Chelsea have been awfully inconsistent this season. Pedro Neto had a fantastic, he played a full 90 minutes just on Thursday, I think. So maybe that's a reason to worry. Maybe, you know, he comes off a little bit early. He's a player with an injury history, not super young anymore. I mean, man, he absolutely smashed, especially in the second half against United after a frustrating first half. It seems like an interesting pivot off of these guys. I just don't know if people are going to play them, but I feel like people are going to gravitate towards the favorites, and there are three really good midfield favorites to play in Palmer, Tavernier, and Bruno. So somehow if Neto is popular, the field is a little bit more galaxy brains than I I imagine, just in that sense. I think there's cheaper players to play on underdogs that right. might get a little bit more attention.
Yeah, you've said pretty much what I was thinking. If he wasn't going to be popular, I would like him, but you kind of feel like he just sort of might be a little bit just, like, it's a 3-game slate and like he's Pedro Neto. Like, how can you not love Pedro Neto too? Like, he's got a lot of similarities to Michael Olise, both fantasy wise and just the way they play. Like, people see his game logs and his average fantasy points. So, like, yeah, maybe he won't be as low owned as I'd hope for me to want to play him, I guess what I'm saying. But then, like, there's scenarios where you think, like, you know, the lobby, like, keeps getting sharper and they should, you know, that realize that he's not, maybe not as good of a play as these other guys and should be lower owned. So I guess there's both sides of it. But yeah, there's cheaper guys that you might be better off with.
Yeah, I think Pedro Neto kind of falls into this category of, if you look at his game logs, you might be like, yeah, well, they're pretty good floor. You look at his floor per 90 on the cheat sheet, I think it's somewhere around like 13. And you're like, oh, but he's playing Chelsea. But Wolves are also always underdogs. So you kind of feel like Neto can get there in a lot of game scripts. And then, you know, 10 floor points and a goal. Now you're cooking. It is a 3-game slate, though, so it's not like you're going to get like an 8% Neto. Maybe it's like 16 or something like that. I don't know. It's tough to know what's good or bad in a smaller slate.
Actually, the first ever high-stakes GPP I ever won was with Pedro Neto against Chelsea, and he was like 13% or something, and yes, scored against them at the Bridge. So it must have been in like 2020, so 3 years ago or so. So yeah, good memories of Neto at the Bridge. He can do it.
Well, let's run it back then. That's obvious.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
That's obviously the move. I think if people choose to play a Wolves midfielder, if Pablo Sarabia starts, I can't believe I do this Sarabia thing unironically now. 6,600, he's 1,500 cheaper. I think that just makes it a little bit, puts a little bit less stress on your lineup, because if you imagine maybe jamming three expensive midfielders, so I don't know, just going through reasonable constructions, I think you can play lineups that are like Bruno Tavernier and Sarabia. Maybe you could try to jam three stud midfielders in. I don't know if that gets a little too thin. You might be a little bit too punty at forward, especially at tournaments, but I feel like Sarabia's presence, Sarabia, I feel like that might also dilute Pedro Neto a bit, because maybe people say, why play Pedro Neto when I can play Pablo Sarabia for 1,500 less?
Yeah, no, yeah, I think you're right. He came on and took the penalty, also took corner. So I feel like he at least had, well, he has priority on pens and probably at least half the sets. And yeah, a little bit worried about Neto going 90 minutes after also starting in the cup, I believe, the week before. So yeah, I like Sarabia. I think you could use him in any format, I guess. Probably get subbed, but he's cheaper than the other guys.
Well, the other option that price range will also probably get subbed, you got Alex Scott at 6,300. Mm. When I've been talking to you, you've been pretty enthusiastic about the Scott role, taking half the set pieces, playing a slightly more forward role. But I think we got a stark reminder of how it goes wrong for Alex Scott. You know, he just doesn't get those set pieces. He doesn't get the floor, and he's subbed off at 63 minutes because, you know, Bournemouth are one of these teams that just have a lot of attacking midfielders, a lot of attacking wingers that they're going to be cycling through. Would you rather play Alex Scott or Pablo Sarabia? Probably Scott because he's a favorite, but it might be a little bit.
Yeah, it's such a tough call. So I was thinking about this because you're right. There's like pretty much no world where he plays longer than 70 minutes. If he starts in an attacking role, Bournemouth just have way too many guys now and they're all healthy. And he's also like dealt with some injuries and, but in general, yeah, I really like him. He looks really promising. He has upside too, and been taking the set pieces. I mean, yeah, I watched that game and it seemed about as bad as he could do. And he still had, you know, seven crosses and took four corners and, you know, I would have to click Scott, I think, still. Like, yeah, there's a lot of risk there, but like 60 minutes of splitting sets as a home favorite with like goal and assist upside, I don't know. Like, yeah, you don't feel good about it. I wouldn't feel good about it. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't expect like that he'll get subbed at 65 again for sure. So it's worrying. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, every time I project minutes, it goes horribly wrong in whatever direction I'm being cautious or aggressive in. But it really does feel like you would run good if he plays more than 70 minutes in this spot. And you're spending $6,300 for a guy. Opportunity cost is pretty huge at the midfield position. So, I mean, it means that maybe you could have just punted or something, and then you're a little bit weak at forward. You're playing Alanga for no reason, just so that you could have played Alex Scott when maybe you could have just played, you know, a Danilo Pereira when he had a more attacking role or something like that.
And, you know, not that this really matters, but just watching the game, he looked a bit tired in the second half. Like, I was watching him specifically because me and you were talking about him that morning, and it was a flight with a million midfielders. And yeah, he's 20 years old, had a few sort of significant injuries already. So I feel like they're going to be careful with him anyways, but I mean, he's got goals and assists in him and splitting set pieces. So like as a favorite, I still think it's a fine cash game play.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see it. And it just, I don't know, there's a lot of spots with volatility. You're going to have to kind of pick your poison at some point.
Hopefully Kluivert starts and you just don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, that would be, well, especially from just filling a forward point of view, you could feel good about just playing a favored forward for 5,300 and then just being strong at the other spots.
Yeah.
You mentioned being on the lookout for Danilo if he's in a little bit more of a forward role. Anyone else strike you as a spend down option? I mean, I don't know, maybe Casemiro, if you build 20 lineups, maybe I'd put him in a couple because he can always score. Lewis Cook seems a bit too rich at 5K. It seems like there's been a little bit of flop leg on his price. Now he doesn't take as many set pieces anymore. So that really doesn't excite me. I don't know, just a lot of ho-hum fun plays.
Yeah, starting with Forrest, I'm worried about Danilo, actually, the more I'm just worried about him. I don't think he's going to be used as an attacker. They got Gio Reyna now, right? I think he might be on the bench. I'll have to look for that. But if he's on the bench, he's coming on, like I would think. Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, Dominguez, Taiwo is back. Like, yeah, I don't think Danilo is going to be playing attacking is what I'm getting at. But he still he probably starts and plays 90 minutes. I mean, it can't be that bad for 3,300. Seen him score goals from outside the box. But yeah, what did you say? Any other cheap guys that I'm looking at?
Can I tell you one that I'm like,
just, are you going to say,
don't yell at me, but go ahead.
Guess are you going to say Kobe Mainoo?
No. I don't think
okay.
A play here.
Okay.
All right. So it's an underdog play, but it's salary relief. It's a player who's like crept up oddly in goal scoring odds lately, and it's Mario Lemina. Cheat sheet said he's averaging 6 floor points per 90 minutes at 4,100. He's been getting a little bit in the box randomly too. I don't really feel like I have a perfect knowledge of his role, but the output has certainly been there. Maybe he's run a little hot on goals, but betting markets have boosted his goal scoring odds up. I mean, I don't know how efficient those are. You can't necessarily bet, you know, no Mario Lemina goals on DraftKings. So I don't know how much to trust them, but I don't know. I would be fine with punting with him. And if I needed the money and it made sense in my lineup, I don't know. Am I nuts, Ryan, or am I just getting lost in the narrative of good recent performances?
No, I don't think you're nuts. Probably a little bit sharp, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Two things. We've just been over it a million times. There's not a lot of guys on this slate that play 90 minutes. He's one that does. Also, just look, he's taken, 28 shots in 19 games or whatever. I would expect that to continue because you think of these, like, center defensive mids. Well, the ones that play on teams that use three center backs or teams that use five at the back, this is what they do, especially Lemina. He gets forward more than if it's João Gomes or even equally, but they just have a little license to do that with three center backs back there rather than teams that, you know, use a back four. So yeah, like playing 90 minutes, the floor seems decent, and yeah, the shot numbers are there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll work out for once, but I feel like this is like a player that once I start clicking him, he like starts getting red cards all of a sudden. But I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's there too.
I shouldn't succumb to those cognitive biases. I don't know. It was just I'm glad that it's not completely a nuts idea. So not a cash move, but if you need the salary relief and you have a couple Wolves players, no, why not? Anyone else at midfield, Ryan?
Like not for cash. I've seen that Chukwuemeka might start for Chelsea. If Nkunku doesn't start, I think it would be Chukwuemeka. But that's like for tournaments. Kobbie Mainoo. I mean, that was a sweet goal to win it. 4,200. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't do it, but he scored. He also scored in the FA Cup the other week too. I mean, there's not a lot of cheap spots. Like, he could luck into an assist.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem like the most DFS-friendly play. I think in his like first start in some FA Cup match, I'm like, oh, Kobbie Mainoo, some central fit midfielder for England. I thought he'd be an attacking player, and he gets like 3 floor points. I don't know. I think it's justifiable, just mostly in large field things. And, you know,
like you probably won't see him in any of my lineups. That's how I should close it off with.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I wouldn't make 20 lineups and be like, Kobbie Mainoo is going to be the guy that makes this whole thing work. You know, just use him sparingly and it might not be the worst thing ever.
Right. Like, if I had a perfect lineup that leaves 4,200, just like perfect, maybe you'd see him in like 2 of 20 of my lineups, you know?
Yeah. Well, you'd be playing Mario Lemina. Come on.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't. Same price. Yeah. So there you go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's get into defender. I think the thing that struck me at defender right away, Ben Chilwell is back for Chelsea. He's basically, I don't know, I think there's a good chance he only plays like 65, 70 minutes. But if he starts, he's 4,700. And he should take some corners while he's on the pitch. He should cross while he's on the pitch. And Chelsea are favorites. I kind of just clicked him right away. I knew I would need some salary relief. And 4,700 just kind of feels like a good deal, even with all the doubts. Ryan, did you end up doing the same thing with Chilwell?
I don't love it. I don't love it. Yeah, I did. But I'm open to changing I'm open to not playing. I don't know. Like, I worry about the minutes a lot. I will take a look at their bench. It looks like Cole Will's out. But yeah, I mean, he was out forever. He started and played 45 minutes against Liverpool. Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a chance, though. Like, if for 4,700, if he just happened to play 90, which he could, then yeah, he's probably your first. He would be your first defender in. So, yeah, makes sense.
I just think there's enough fragility there in tournaments. I think he has, like, I saw a game log 65 minutes in an FA Cup match. They play Aston Villa recently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not bad, but there's some fixture congestion. I don't know how young he is anymore, but they probably don't want to push it too much on giving him a ton of minutes right away. I mean, I don't know. Maybe even people seeing what happened to Michael Olise today, that might even, like, spook Mauricio Pochettino, but I wouldn't take that advice to the bank. I don't know. It just feels
Wait,
like there's
did he
a
get
lot
injured?
Olise?
Yeah.
He played nine. He played like 11 minutes and he was subbed at like the 57th minute mark. It was sort of like a KDB situation.
I missed the games today. That's part. I haven't caught up on the games yet.
Oh,
I finished lineups and went immediately to take my son to this like big train exhibit with all these like, you know, model trains at the domes, the domes.
Oh yeah,
in Milwaukee.
Yeah. The domes in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, and he's awesome. Just obsessed with trains. So I just finished lineups, hopped in the car. So yeah, I missed that with Olise, but anyway.
Yeah. He came off injured and probably, you know, it felt similar to KDB getting hurt right away.
Man,
like, why are you bringing him back? So
why are you bringing him on like down 3-0 or whatever? But
that's what the announcers were asking on the program. And, I don't know. I think the Crystal Palace fans are rightfully a bit annoyed about what's going on with their club right now. But I don't know. Well, I'm talking to the mayor of Crystal Palace right here, so I'm sure you're
feeling. I miss Crystal Palace.
Good times, good times. I going back to Chilwell, I think there is some fragility. He's going to be chalk in tournaments and. You know, sometimes you just click the defender chalk and you don't think about it, but this is stuff that could go wrong. And I think there's other names that you could click reasonably. Like in tournaments, if you wanted to pivot to Luke Shaw, that might be okay. You know, he might not take set pieces, but he might split corners randomly with Bruno. It doesn't seem like that's really consistent, but he has a little bit of upside there. You could play Malo Gusto on Chelsea as well for 500 more. I don't know if he's going to play 90 minutes necessarily, and I feel like every time I play him and then I watch, he's about to get a red card with a cynical foul. But there are options. I mean, Diogo Dalot wouldn't be a horrible tournament play either. He's playing on the left and getting shots. But yeah, it's not a really strong defender position, Ryan. I think it would be justifiable. Maybe if I didn't play Ben Chilwell, I can just say, give me like a $3,100 Ryan Aitnori or a $3,000 Milos Kerkez if he starts, and then just try to spend a little bit in my lineup. And maybe defender just sucks this week and you just need the forwards and you need the salary elsewhere.
Yeah. Gusto's a walking yellow card for sure. But yeah, he does have those games where he gets forward and starts. Where he gets forward and crosses a lot. I don't love any of these defenders. Like I try to make expensive defender work when I can, but it's a good spot for the United guys, but they don't have great floors. Shaw, I mean, is Shaw ever going to score double-digit fantasy points again? I think I was asking you guys that. Like it's unbelievable. Even when he has set pieces, he fails. He's another walking yellow card. But yeah, you know, there's also the thing where, because the defenders aren't great, if you happen to hit the one that hits the ceiling, it's really going to help you. And, you know, those guys have assist upside, Gusto, Dalot, Shaw, Chilwell, but yeah, I don't love them. So anyways, yeah, if Ryan Aitnori started and Nuno Tavares started, I'm just playing them, like almost certainly. As long as like I find you can find, yeah, you'll be able to find somewhere to spend the money, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll convince. Maybe like Chilwell's only 1,600 more. Chilwell is cheap at 4,700, so I get it, but he worries me. He worries me, Chilwell.
Yeah, I feel like just because there will be set pieces in it for Chilwell, you know, I'll just eat the 1600. I think I can.
I mean, are you sure? Are you sure?
I guess I shouldn't be when you put it that way. I mean, we could imagine.
I mean, for one, this is Chelsea, and like if Nkunku starts, what if he takes on that side? They want in swingers, so Nkunku's going to take from Chilwell's side, and Cole Palmer's going to go take from the other side. But then, yeah, then there's the other scenario where Chilwell takes like seven corners, you know, and you're kicking yourself if you don't play him. So,
well, and let's just think about the trade-offs, right? Like, you know, seems reasonable. Chilwell at 60, you know, let's say Chilwell does split set pieces and plays for 65 minutes. Maybe you're looking at around 8 points. That seems like what I would expect from a player with that type of role. If he doesn't smash right away, which, you know, that can always happen. Or you can spend down, and then instead of playing a second cheap forward with Morgan Gibbs-White, now you're playing a Garnacho, or now you're playing a Solanke instead. Feels like you're picking up outs, you know, as long as Chilwell doesn't absolutely smash, you know, maybe a Nuno Tavares, he has smaller, but he has, you know, some type of, maybe he can keep up a little bit, not fall too behind Ben Chilwell. It does feel like if Chilwell fails, you're really playing from behind in a lot of ways, depending on the other decisions you made at your lineup. So, I don't know, the more I talk to you about it, the more fragile I feel, but I also feel like I could really be overthinking. If you just look at it right away, 4,700 Ben Chilwell does kind of just feel, it feels gross to fade him, but I hope I'm not overthinking it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think you're overthinking it. I don't know. I think it's just one that you can go either way on.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of other cheap fullbacks you could choose from. Milos Kerkez, 3K. It's not like he has a huge floor for Bournemouth, but like, it's a good spot.
I don't want this to be famous last words here, but I just worry that those smash spots are fewer and are just not there for Chilwell, you know, in a back four, and not there like they used to be, is what I should say. And then last year at times, and I'm just not sure. Like, I feel like Chilwell is becoming more like Luke Shaw. But, you know, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, I hope I didn't jinx it, but that's just sort of what it feels like.
Well, it feels like maybe it's a situation where we're reacting very slowly historically, right? Like, Chelsea have had a lot of managers, and when Chilwell's been there, it's normally he's been deployed as like an very attacking fullback, like, sometimes he's played as a winger, and that's burned into our memory. I mean, we haven't seen too much of him under this new regime, but if it is a back four, maybe we just start, maybe there's a little bit of a benefit to updating your priors on, you know, a Ben Chilwell and thinking 47, maybe closer to fair than like underpriced. This isn't like the same player who was used to be priced at 7K, and we'd say that he's the first name in our lineup like a year and a half ago.
Right.
So maybe there's a small edge to just trying to be in front of it. If you pay for it, oh well, but I don't know, at least you made a stand.
I hope I'm not wrong, but yeah, because if it's 10 point floor Chilwell, then you want to play him in every lineup. So I mean, it's a fine line, you know.
Yeah, I think a 2019 Ryan Belongi is like screaming at you right now.
It's a fine line. It is a fine line. Yep.
It's like that Interstellar meme. Like,
but I can just close it off with, I've said it on this podcast so many times, so you can apply it here if you want. All I do is get Chelsea wrong. All I do is get Chelsea wrong. Like, anytime I think starting to figure it out, it just goes the opposite. So let's just see what happens.
Well, maybe it'll go right, or maybe you can do the George Costanza and just build 20 lineups and then build 20 more after that and just fade whatever Chelsea stand you make. That sounds profitable. I think that about describes that defender. There's plenty of cheap plays that you can go to if you don't really believe in these expensive options, but I think we can just leave it at that. We'll go to goalkeeper, and this is especially uninteresting this week because it's basically like there's six goalkeepers, but there's like two goalkeepers because the home favorites are all the same. And the away underdogs are roughly all the same. The pricing reflects that everyone's about within $100. So I guess the question is up or down? Do you want to play one of these?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to be too surprised by this, but I'm leaning towards spending up. I just think when it goes your way, there's an easier path to winning tournaments. I don't, maybe that's not the way, the best way to say it, but like, I just feel like, I feel like all three of the underdogs are going to get scored on. And of course that doesn't happen all the time, but that's what I want to happen. And I think it happens relatively often. And then I think one of the expensive goalkeepers, you know, is going to score 15. So it might just choose to play the slate that way. If it doesn't go that way, then I'm going to lose. But on smaller slates, I try to pay up for goalkeeper most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm speaking about like my, you know, my higher stakes tournament lineups in cash. I wouldn't hesitate to pay down in cash. So I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah.
If I needed some money in cash, yeah, I'll spend down. But yeah, if I'm playing like a 5-man winner take all or, you know, like a big portion of my bankroll, like I want an expensive keeper.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards just paying up for one of the goalkeepers. I feel like most people will, and this just doesn't feel like a great slate necessary if you're playing from behind. In tournaments, I don't mind taking rips. I think one of these underdogs will win. That's just the most likely outcome.
Yeah, that's right? That's a good point. I could one of the underdogs has a good chance to win for sure.
And it would mean in my tournament lineups that I can just play maybe more favored forwards. I just think that you can work it out so that, you know, just by rotating through, you know, a bunch of these cheaper options in tournaments, hopefully you just get lucky and one of them wins. I mean, the construction seems kind of obvious, right? Like maybe you can just play like one expensive defender or two cheap ones and then just make sure that one is always correlated with the cheap goalkeeper. Hopefully one of them gets the win clean sheet. If you just make 20 lineups like that, get the outfield right, DFS is easy after that. But I don't know. Feels easy to talk about, to, you know, puff your chest out and say, I don't care about goalkeeper, I want to spend down. When you're making the lineups, you kind of feel like, you know, one of these favorites is probably going to win and keep a clean sheet on the other hand as well. So, and it does feel like the slightly more likely outcome.
Yeah. But your point was good. Like some of these, one of these underdogs wins 2-1, you know, and scores 10 or 10 points or whatever, that can be optimal too. A lot of times, like I'll probably have one or two of the cheap keepers, like in like a 20 set of lineups, like just on lineups where I don't have, like if I don't have a Chelsea player, then for sure I'll play Saar. If I don't have a Bournemouth player, then for sure. But yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, same old for goalkeeper. You just got to hope that you have the one who scores 15 or more points, and good luck finding that out, because I am sure as hell not particularly good at it myself. Well, I think that was a pretty good breakdown, though. A lot of good midfielders that you want to, you know, sample from, a lot of really high priced midfielders. You know, figure out the forward position a little bit. Feels like a wide open game. Whoever you think is going to smash, just play the forwards there, and then I don't know, defender, just make sure you get Chelsea right and figure out if Ben Chilwell's going to do well. That definitely doesn't sound like a tortuous task. But yeah, just a lot of ways to go. It should be fairly interesting. I think we'll see spread out ownership and spread out lineups. It's much more refreshing than these like slates where Kevin De Bruyne is 8,100 and everyone's just playing six City pieces. Ryan, do you have anything else for the people before we sign off?
No, I don't think so. I think that was a pretty good breakdown for a 3-game slate.
Yeah, we gave you a nice thorough breakdown. Sorry about the technical issues at the start, but thanks for sticking with us. I mean, shout out to us, Ryan. This is the nominee for the FSWA podcast of the year. So it wouldn't be possible with all the listeners. So thank you for listening. Shout out. We got Adam, Jordan, Chris Owens when you're listening to the Betting Podcast. So I don't know. Thanks for always hanging out and listening.
That's awesome.
It's a good time.
Yeah, but, I think this might be the first ever Saturday podcast.
It might be
at least one of them. So you know, we're yeah. Anyways, thanks everybody for watching. That's cool. Maybe we can win it.
Maybe we can win it. That would be. It feels like a David versus Goliath situation. But yeah, thanks for listening. We've been starved for content with the slates coming out late. DraftKings, I know you're listening. Please release the salaries like 48 hours in advance. We would love to promote your stuff We don't have a contract from you or anything. We'd like to promote and grow the game and help everyone out. So please, we're begging you, let us make content for you and release those prices earlier. Everyone can add DK assist with that. But on behalf of myself and Ryan, good luck, everyone. I'm going to win the King of the Pitch ticket, but you can all win whatever else. We will see you next week.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck, everybody.